past few years have witnessed a parade of natural disasters, the likes of which have never been seen before. From earthquakes and tsunamis in Japan, Burma, New Zealand, and Pakistan, and Spain, to floods in the Philippines and the Mississippi Delta, to the cyclones and tornadoes in Alabama, Missouri, and even Massachusetts, the death and destruction these have wrecked have left immeasurable damage to the people and property in these areas. Joining us this morning, we will take a look at this from a few perspectives. But first, joining me is Amber Smith, Senior Editor in the Marketing and University Communications Department at Upstate Medical University, with a personal account of one such recent disaster. Welcome, Amber.
Thank you.
Tell us about what happened, your experience.
Well, my mother and her husband live in Joplin, Missouri, a little more than a mile from the hospital that was hit in the tornado a couple of Sundays ago. And they had been, she was upstairs, he was in the basement watching TV. She came down and said, "There's a tornado warning." He stood up to look out the window, and all of their trees were on the ground.
Oh my God. So he grabbed her,
and they had the dog with them, and they went into the bathroom and barely got the door pulled shut when the whole house fell around them.
The bathroom in the basement.
In the basement.
Oh, my God. So that was... Had they been hearing tornado warnings before? I mean, is there a history of that kind of event
taking place?
Well,
that's the tornado bell. I mean, they're used to tornado warnings. They've never been in one like this, but tornado warnings are frequent.
But is there a tendency then, perhaps, to not pay as close attention to a warning in that case, or do they take them seriously?
I think that's why he stood up to look out the window to see how bad it was, because they're pretty common, so you want to, you know, you keep you're alert to them, but you don't know how much you have to react. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we're all told, you know, the basement is the safe place to be. Well, it wasn't safe enough. They were within the confines of their bathroom. The beam above them fell right on top. It would have crushed them had it not also fallen on the freezer across the room.
Oh,
and that's
my
what
God.
Braced it from falling on them. So
it really was divine intervention
was,
in some ways, that
absolutely.
They were spared.
Absolutely.
And the dog survived as well?
Yes.
But the house was totally destroyed?
Totally gone. One thing that was left untouched was a St. Francis statue in the midst of everything.
Oh, my God.
They did find their dog's favorite ball. They're still digging through the rubble. They found their marriage license, a couple of important documents like that.
I can't even imagine what it would be like to step out.
Right.
First of all, to first feel that you're still alive.
Right.
After devastation. I mean, it must have been so frightening. Have they told you what it felt like to be in the room?
Well, they had to be, they were knocked to the ground, and they were pulled out by neighbors who were surprised that they were able to pull someone out. And I know my mom was wrapped in a neighborhood girl's Dora the Explorer blanket.
Wow.
And that's what she used for, you know, protection for a few days, actually. But from there, I'm not sure how they were able to connect with family and have eventually, now they're in a hotel. They are very lucky to have survived. I think 200 died. I don't have the final figure, but... Incredible story.
And obviously the toll that it must take on not only, you know, their financial, economic security, but their mental sense of security has got to be incredible.
Right.
And throughout this show, we're going to begin to explore a lot more about what happens in these kinds of disasters and what are the kinds of things that... What kind of help can be brought to people who experience that? Did you have something else you wanted to do?
Well, I wanted to share an account that I found that was written by Dr. Kevin Kitka. He was one of the doctors on duty in the emergency room at the hospital when the tornado hit. He wrote something that's been widely shared online, and I've kind of abridged it.
Sure, please do.
Kevin, or Dr. Kitka, starts his account by saying, "You never know that it will be the most important day of your life until the day is over." He says, you know, he started the day as he normally does, driving to the hospital, mentally preparing for his shift, but nothing could have prepared me for what was going to happen on this shift. Things were normal for the first hour and a half. At approximately 5:30, we received a warning that a tornado had been spotted. A code gray was being called. we were to start bringing patients to safer spots within the emergency department and hospital. At 5:42, a security guard yelled to everyone, "Take cover, we're about to get hit by a tornado." While others scattered to various places, I ran with a pregnant RN to the only safe place that I was familiar with in the hospital without windows, a small doctor's office in the emergency department. Together, she and I tremored and huddled under a desk. We heard a loud, horrifying sound like a large locomotive ripping through the hospital. The whole hospital shook and vibrated as we heard glass shattering, light bulbs popping, walls collapsing, people screaming, the ceiling caving in above us, and water pipes breaking, showering down water on everything. We suffered this in complete darkness, unaware of anyone else's status, worried, scared. We could feel a tight pressure in our heads as the tornado annihilated the hospital and the surrounding area. The whole process took about 45 seconds, but seemed like eternity. The hospital had just taken a direct hit from a Category E5 tornado. Then it was over. Just 45 seconds, 45 long seconds. We looked at each other terrified and thanked God that we were alive. Like a bomb went off, that's the only way that I can describe what we saw next. Patients were coming into the ED in droves. It was absolute, utter chaos. They were limping, bleeding, crying, terrified, with debris and glass sticking out of them, just thankful to be alive. The floor was covered with about 3 inches of water. There was no power, not even backup generators, rendering it completely dark and eerie in the ED. The frightening aroma of methane gas leaking from the broken gas lines permeated the air. We knew, but did not dare mention aloud what that meant. I redoubled my pace. What I thought we would do is post a link to this on the HealthLink On Air website so that people can read the whole account. It's really gripping.
It is gripping, and your personal account is equally gripping. Well, thanks for sharing it with us. We have to take a short break right now, but we'll be right back, and we'll be talking a lot more about disasters. Please stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is HealthLink On Air FM News Radio, 106.9 and 570 WSYO.